If you weren't such a hag, I wouldn't have to go to this other woman. Like, said every cheating guy ever.
This is the After Party with Big Party and Molly, where we overshare for entertainment and call it healing. Welcome to the After Party.
Welcome to the After Party, people. All right, phone numbers in, 402-915-0962. And also BPS Crasher at gmail.com. By the way, I went to a dermatologist. I went to a dermatologist and got my body checked out.
Oh.
For cancer.
Did they find anything?
No, they didn't find anything.
Well, good.
I think they thought I was crazy. Well. Basically, I have this thing on my nose. I went diving years ago and... Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was sand in my mask, but it's a safety check is what it is. Before you go diving, you need to check your equipment. Well, it was on Cozumel, and then, you know, Cozumel, that all the water there around it is, you know, it's not the greatest water because of cruise ships and gas and stuff, you know, so you're not diving into pure good, better stuff. So I don't know what it was, but I checked the gear. Everything was great. Then I got out. And I'm walking with my gear, and this guy, I think he was from France or something like that. He was asking me questions, but he was looking at me and like I was insane, like something was wrong. And I'm all wet, and I'm asking them. And then I'd look into the mirror about 10 minutes after that, and the whole end of my nose completely end, like a clown. We'll just say a clown nose. With all the skin was gone, it was 100% black. So all the pressure just spread. I don't know if there was sand that did it or whatever the case is. So it took all the skin off my nose. So that part of my nose is super sensitive. So if there's ever an issue, if I get a pimple or a scratch or anything like that, for some reason, my whole nose gets infected. Ugh. Even the doctor, my doctor, when I went and saw him one time, he swapped it. He's like, I have no idea what's going on. I said, I think it took so much of my nose skin that I think it just gets really infected easily. So when that happened in Cozumel, that was the first day, Molly. What happened was I didn't dive again. And I'm like, now I'm on the internet.
Like, you're like, uh-oh.
What's going on? Why is it doing this? And then in the internet is telling me that, you know, these are nightmare stories of the same similar thing, but these people lost their noses.
Really?
I'm on vacation going, oh my God, I'm going to lose my nose.
You're like, it's happening.
Yes. And so basically it's like, oh my God. And then I remembered like 3 days later, as I'm freaking out, that there's pharmacies all over Mexico. So yeah. You can go get penicillin and all that stuff. So I went and got that and then I knocked it out. But here's the issue. Whenever that thing reoccurs, and it does it every year, I have to go get antibiotics to knock out the infection because I don't know what it is.
Sick.
Yeah, it's awful, Molly. I look like a monster. And so when I had my nose hairs waxed.
Yeah.
I was having an issue when Carly, my niece, was like, that's not a pimple. That's cancer. I'm like, oh my God, don't tell me that's cancer. That could be cancer. You could lose your whole nose. Therefore...
She's not a doctor, by the way.
She's not a doctor, but she was. It wasn't a pimple. It was weird. When it gets infected, it doesn't look like a pimple. And then so that's why Wylene was triggered on that, and so was her sister. And then next thing you know it, I'm like at the dermatologist explaining the story to him, and he just stared at me.
He's like, well, you're fine, yeah. You big baby. Leave my office.
As I said.
You're like, well, I didn't know.
Well, this is what I said to him. I said, I need you to see how it is now, because when it does it again, because it will, I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, threat noted. You're like, so I'm coming back. Have you're going to see that? Me again. He's like,
ugh. Have you ever had that done? It's
uh-huh.
I yeah. haven't. So I didn't know really. I know they got to look at your whole body, but I had to completely get. I mean, I still had underwear on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't ask to take off the underwear. Well, Wylene told me to keep my underwear on because I asked her and she was, and I was like, all right, I'll just keep it on. Then they just disrobe me and look all over my body. It's like a, They have to, I guess. And I'm in the sun all the time. But yeah, that was my first time. So I was, I'm happy. Everything.
Surprised they didn't have you be completely naked.
No, he pulled down and checked out my booty and stuff like
that's
that.
That's the thing. But that's why I was going to say, like, usually they want to check out the butt. And like for you, for men, there would be like the testicles and things like that.
He didn't go down there like that. He didn't go down there like that. And thank God I wasn't ready for that. I didn't. I mean, good God, he'd have to be searching.
You mean I wasn't ready? How does one prepare for that? I mean, did you shower before you went?
Yes, I showered.
Well, then what other
form manscaping? Of... He's going to have to park the seat.
That guy's seen whatever. So what? That guy's seen it all. Are you nuts? He's a doctor. He's going to be like, ew, you didn't manscape? I'm like, yeah, that's on you. Figure it out.
Anyway, everything's all good. Everything's all good and solid.
Thank goodness.
So, yeah, so thank goodness. All right, so I guess we made a list. What's going on?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Glassdoor came out with their list of like the best cities for young professionals.
Oh, cool.
And it was an interesting list. Washington, D.C. was number one. It all had to do with basically the job market, like the great opportunities for young professionals.
Okay.
Cost of living, things like that. And it was Omaha was number two.
Good job, Omaha.
Yeah, it was Washington, Omaha, Boston, Dallas, and Chicago.
Dallas, even.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I like Dallas. I've been there once or twice before, but yeah, I love Chicago.
But it's all about the Midwest. Yeah. And then following that, Houston, St. Louis, San Diego, Miami and Austin.
And
so,
and the list again is for what?
Best for young professionals.
Oh, for young professionals. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. San Diego, hands down, I would imagine. So that's like a dream place. When I was in San Diego just visiting, we were there. I was just checking it out because I've heard great things. My problem is that we hit every single thing and we generally aren't touristy people, but we were then. I came back and I was like, I'm so tired. All we mm-hmm. did is walk and look at stuff. We spent 2 seconds there and went to another place. And that's not Wylene and I. We don't do that. We kind of absorb in. But I like to do it again. For young professionals.
Yeah, they said that they surveyed 1,800 job seekers in their 20s.
Okay.
And 89% of the respondents said that they would relocate if it supported their lifestyle. So they're looking for opportunities. It's not, and so now it's kind of checking this out. Texas was the most represented state because it had Dallas, Houston, and Austin.
All right.
But they said these are for the best big cities. Omaha was in the big city category.
Omaha.
Like mid-size was like New Orleans. So I thought that was interesting too, that we were like with the big dogs. New York, LA did not make it. San Francisco did not make it. And I think it has to do with the hustle, the cost of living, and it's a tight job market.
Yeah, it's a super tight one. And our cost of living is low. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the lowest in the country all the time. I mean, there's a lot of places you can work here for young. There's just tons of opportunity here for those young professionals. And dating. You can date a mm-hmm. lot of good people here. I saw this. It's funny. This headline, I laughed. It said that angry women are driving men to cougars.
Oh, my God. Really? Yeah, that's what's driving guys to cougars. They're like, it's you, ladies. You're like, stop. I think ye protest too much. They're like, if you weren't such a hag, I wouldn't have to go to this other woman. They're like, said every cheating guy ever.
Yeah. I mean, get this, Molly. It says angry women are driving men into the arms of cougars. Gen Z men hated by Gen Z women, so they are seeking less toxic relationships.
Ooh. Wow. Give me a break.
How soft is that? I don't think there's any
women. I just love the fact that, like, did you ever dawn on you that maybe you're the reason she's angry? Like, what?
This is how they're making sense of this, Molly. They're saying because of the toxic dating world, they all hate us.
Oh.
Mm. Social media is men are trash. You know who's not saying that? The older ones.
Cougars. You've already blown through a husband. She's like, no, I've seen trash. I divorced him. Yes. And now I'm looking for something young and fun and not toxic. That's what it is.
Older women aren't ghosting me after 6 weeks, says the Gen Z.
Yeah, but how often are you also talking to her? She's like, I'm good. I'm going to go have dinner with my kids. So, okay, Jeremy, I will touch base with you later.
Yeah. It says, they say older women have more openness for a relationship.
That sounds about right. Have you, have you been watching The Age of Attraction on Netflix?
No, is that something I should be watching?
Age of Attraction.
What is that?
Talk about like curling up on the couch with my glass of Pinot Grigio, just watching this magic happen. You and Wiley got to. I'm only about like 1.5 episodes in.
Okay.
50 people head out to Whistler in British Columbia. Gorgeous, right? Like they're in the middle of nature and all this stuff. 25 women, 25 men. I think I have that right. To meet the love of their life, they can ask anything that they want. You can, you know, you speed date, you do whatever. The only thing that you can't say is how old you are.
Oh, really? Okay. Uh-huh. I'm watching this.
Oh, it is fantastic. So then, you know, you meet all these people and then eventually you're like, you know, I would like to go on a date with you. So they go and do some, you know, like wine tasting, or they're going to go horseback riding or whatever. It's just the two of them and they get to know each other. But again, can't say anything about your age. It's fantastic. So then you finally get to a point where I'm like, party, will you go to the promise room with me? And we're going to exchange promise rings. And that's when you reveal how old you are, and it is fantastic.
Oh, really? Is there like some
the
guys
look
that
on
are...
this one guy's face? Like he's like, I'm blank, and she's like, okay, and he's like, I've got a 14-year-old daughter and like a 13-year-old daughter, and she's like, mm-hmm. And then he's like, how old are you? She's like, 22.
Oh no. So then what happens?
Then they take it to the next level. Like, then they're going to, like, try and date in the real world. But, you know, the thing is, like, I only got one episode in. But the best is, you know, at the end of that first episode, they're like, this season on Age of Attraction. And they give you all the clips of what's coming up. And you get to see, like, some of these couples make it to the round where you meet each other's families.
Oh, that's... All right, so how does that
you've got
go over?
Cougar mom showing up with hot new boyfriend who is younger than you. Like you're her kid and she's introducing you to her boyfriend who's like 2 years younger than me.
So what
it
is
looks
the
fabulous.
What is the end goal of,
love.
Of this?
To find love. Everybody define just wants to be love. Loved. I know. I'm like, you're on and it cracks me up because mm-hmm. This 22-year-old, like, I don't know what story, internal monologue this guy's telling himself. I'm like, she's 22. I don't need to go into the promise room to figure out that she's in her early 20s. Like, she looks 22. So okay. Here's this guy, and he's like, what? I'm 40. What? You're 22? I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah, you're kidding me. That guy totally wants that.
Absolutely. He didn't latch on to the 54-year-old woman at the wine tasting. No, he went right for the 22-year-old. I'm like, okay, age of attraction.
Are the women that are older cougars trying to get the younger man or?
No, I mean it's all over the place.
Okay,
you know, the one woman that I saw that was older, I only watched one episode. The one woman who is older, the first couple that like goes to the promise room.
He
doesn't look his age. So when he reveals how old he is, she's like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, she's like, I think I can't even remember. She's like, I'm 54. And he's like, okay, that's great. Like, that's fine with me. She's like, okay, great. Like, how old are you? Thinking he's in his 30s. You know what I mean? Like all this kind of stuff. And he's like, I'm 27. She's like, oh my God.
Would you?
So's my son.
Would you?
I don't know.
Let's say you're 55. How low would you go? I mean, how low would you go knowing what you know?
The whole point of this show is to show it's hosted by this couple that apparently I should know, but I don't. But it's hosted by this either like social media influencer couple or whatever that's got a big age difference. And they're like, age doesn't matter. It's all about the person. And so that's the point of the show is the fact that like if you take numbers out of the equation, if you just get to know somebody, like that's your baseline. I like you. You like me. We have stuff in common. It doesn't matter how old we are. And then what you realize is once you get into this promise room and you finally unveil, like it does matter how old you are. Like
I think it does.
It does. I mean, there's stuff where it's just.
It's basically, Molly, it's basically, it comes down to experience. I mean, what you've experienced, some of these younger people never have it experienced. And, you know, and that could be frustrating for anyone that's older. You know, I mean, there's always that question, what would you guys talk about? There's plenty of things
There's plenty of stuff to talk about. Like, that's not the issue. It really isn't. I mean,
it's not.
And I honestly don't believe if somebody, if there's a 20, 30 year age difference, like, whatever, that's fine. Like, everybody can find common ground. Like, you meet somebody younger than you and you can still hit it off and be like really good friends. Why would that be any different in a romantic relationship? I've got friends all across the age spectrum.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I've got friends that are like 22. Well, insert relationship into that. And I don't know how that would be any different.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think a lot of it has to do with if you have kids.
Oh yeah.
I think that really, I mean, like if I was all of a sudden going to Declan and Mara and being like, meet Party, he is 22. Like, really?
Yeah.
This guy's the new stepdad. He's hanging out at Christmas now. They're like, we're in love. They're like, I'm sure that's what you think this is. Guy standing there like, hey, let's just be friends. They're like, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, that would be the thing is being, if you were like, hey, I was married, but like, there are no kids to, and all I have to do is like show you my brother or my sister or my parents who can all be judgmental all they want, but it's not like I owe them anything. I don't owe my sister an explanation for a 22-year-old guy I'm dating. I do feel like if I introduce him to my children, there's a little bit of more like, I got to take ownership of this. Like, what do you guys think? And they're like, I think you're insane.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole time when you meet the kids for the first time, I had it with the sweet Wylene.
How was it?
It was, Oliver was great. I had showed up because she needed help with something at the house and we're just hanging out. Nothing crazy was happening. And so Oliver, he was so little. He was homesick. And so I stopped by to see if I can help her with some project real quick with the garbage, with the garage door or something. And so he was reading a book on the couch, and I met him, and I just asked him the first question. I was like, she said he was sick. I said, oh, did you poop your pants? That was Oliver. And then when I met Colin, we went to I met him and Wylene at like the Varsity Bar to get a pizza or something like that. And so Colin just sat there and kind of just stared at me the whole time. Mm-hmm. But when she said to him before we went and met that he's going to be meeting Big Party from the radio, the first thing he said was that, you mean the guy that thinks that love isn't real?
You're like, mm-hmm. Yep. And he asked your brother if he pooped his pants. Yeah. Get in the car. Let's go. You're an idiot.
Yeah, that's what I did. That was fun. Yeah, but that's a hard part right there because you don't know what to do. I mean, no. I don't have children, so it's not like I can talk about anything that relates. Like, yeah, hey, my little guy, he does this. And you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
I'm a single guy who's never had children. So, yeah, that's when I had to. I'm going to check out that show. People, check it out.
Oh, and, yeah. And check it out.
I want to check it out for sure.
I'm only, like I said, 1.5 episodes in. I need to watch. I was going to watch another episode tonight. Just because. And of course, like, Peter comes in. He's like, what are you watching? What is this? And I was like, this is just me unwinding from working in a newsroom for 8 hours. You know what? I want to watch a bunch of people try to make a love connection, even though they're 75 years apart, and pretend like they don't know. Like, yeah, exactly. You can't look at that woman's face and know she's 55. Really? I'm looking at her. She looks just like people I know that are 55. There's no big, like, what?
Yeah.
Girlfriend. I mean, you got some of these ladies, and they're like, these big plump lips. These stretched out faces. And they're like, I'm 16. You're like, sure you are.
All right. We got to hit no dumb questions because these things are just backing up on us. We'll get to it here. So I don't know which it's intro I'm hitting. So be patient because I don't have it labeled correctly.
Okay.
But Susan did reach out because she wanted that version that we played last time. She actually wanted it. And it's from our house band, Mike Drop 5, that did that. So it's on Spotify. You can go find him. So I sent it to her. I sent her a link to it. And she says that she must just have a great job. She says, I'm going to play it before one of our company daily meetings we have at 11:11.
Oh, cool.
My name is Sue, and I play the intro song on Tuesdays. Tuesdays are Sue's days.
Sue's days. That's adorable. You're like, good for you.
Yeah.
It is a fun song.
They have an entry song. So here we go.
What's the weight? What's the weight of a cloud in the sky? Do fish ever sleep? Do they blink? Do they cry? Why is the sun so hot? The moon so cool? If I ask too much, does it make me a fool?
No dumb questions. It's all okay.
If it sounds dumb, I'll ask anyway. Each other, does the wind have a dad? Does the rain have a mother? Why's my toast always landing face down? Why does my dog hate the vacuum sound?
I wonder out loud, I'll never stop. Curiosity's my crown. Yo, yo, no dumb questions, it's all okay.
If it sounds dumb, I'll ask anywhere.
Relax, it's fine, it's how I shine.
If it sounds dumb, it's probably mine.
Why do we laugh when it's quiet at night?
Do dreams have colors or just black and white?
Why is the world round, not shaped like a square?
Do stars get lonely way up there?
I wonder if dreams, do dreams have color? I don't even know. I don't think about that. Okay, they must have color. I just have never thought about it. I'm going to make a conscious effort next time.
Here's the question. If you're colorblind, do you dream in color or do you dream in black and white?
I don't know. I don't think... Is colorblind black and white? Because I had a friend that was colorblind.
It's a male trait.
Okay. Yeah, because
I knew somebody who was colorblind, and that was the thing, is that you learn, like, he drove, but it wasn't like you didn't see a green light. You just knew that the bottom light being lit up was the green light, and that meant go. And that the top light was red, and that meant stop.
Oh, God, that's crazy. So our friend, you knew him too, Matt. We called him Matt the Blind Guy.
Yeah.
We'd go golfing with him, and it was so frustrating, especially if it's fallout or something and there's leaves all over the ground. He could never find his ball. His ball was white, and it was so frustrating. We'd have to be looking for his ball for him all the time. Golf took twice as long.
You stop inviting someone. Oh, man, I wish you could make the tea time. Darn it. Shoot.
Exactly. All right, here's a question. This is from Lori and Sam. They want to know, what's the first thing you do when you wake up? I woke up at 4. I just go down and make coffee. That's the first thing I do.
I used to look at my phone, but I've been doing this last week where I don't.
Good.
Good. I make coffee.
Mm-hmm. I drink the hell out of some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically I sit down. Sometimes I'll do the dishes. It's weird when you wake up at 4. No one else is up. Not even the dogs. So I try to get some home stuff done, but then I just turn on the TV and see if the world's exploded. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. That's my morning routine. I don't really have a normal morning routine.
Mine is I get up, I'll start coffee, I'll go to the bathroom, I'll feed the cat, go back. By that point, the coffee should be ready. I'll have I'll sip a little bit of the coffee and then jump in the shower.
Oh, you do? Okay. I don't shower till later.
And then I'll go downstairs and I'll like pack my lunch. Or like whatever I'm gonna eat, sip on some more coffee, set up my coffee mug for when I leave, and then I like go blow dry my hair.
There you go, people. You have it.
Sexy. So sexy.
That's about as sexy as it gets. Mm-hmm. Here's a fun question. It says, is it rude to fall asleep if you're riding shotgun?
Say my husband thinks it is. I do not. And I don't have problems with people who fall asleep riding shotgun on road trips.
Uh-huh. I don't
You
either,
would think but... it was like Peter acts as if he treats it like it's such a betrayal. Like he's like, I can't believe that you fell asleep. And I'm like, what else would I be doing? He's like, you're supposed to be talking to me, keeping me company, keeping an eye on the road. I'm like, we're driving from Chicago to Omaha. There's only one way to go. Like, it's not like turn left up here. Okay. And then you go down 2 miles and then you turn right. But it's like a roundabout. It's like I-80 the entire way. It is boring. I'm like, listen to music just like I do. I make this drive by myself all the time. No one's there to talk to me. And so to me, like if somebody's sleeping in the passenger seat, it's no different from when I do this drive on my own. You're tired, sleep. That way you're energized when we get to the other thing, because then it'll be tag, you're it. I'm tired. I've just driven whatever amount of time.
See, here's my problem. I don't mind people sleeping either, but I'm on Peter's side a little bit. But I don't mind people sleeping. I, for some reason, try not to fall asleep if I'm in the passenger side, because I feel like I'm the one that has to keep that person company somewhat. And it doesn't seem fair that I can catch some Z's and rest while the other person is driving me somewhere.
What, are we supposed to both be miserable? That's ridiculous.
I don't know. That's me, though. That's just me. I'm not saying it's a problem. I don't care if someone falls asleep.
That's the thing.
I just don't. I just don't. I stay awake. And it is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, you're sitting in the warm sun. Uh-huh. Somebody's driving you. You're sitting in the warm sun. You're comfy. You're maybe reading a book. It drives me crazy. Like, he's always just like, how is your nap?
Is he
like,
really?
I'll drive for a bit if you want to sleep. Like, that's my whole thing. I'm like, you wanted to drive. You hate when I drive. I'm fine driving. Like, we could tag team, and then like you could have a little bit of time in the passenger seat where you sleep. And guess who won't be mad about it? Me. I don't care. The kids sleep in the back. How is that any different? Do. Oh, so like the kids can sleep, but I can't.
Yeah.
Not fair.
What if you don't know the driver very well?
I've still fallen asleep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done that where you're carpooling with people for a trip.
Uh-huh.
Where you're all just still chipping in, like somebody's driving and everybody's just chipping in money. I don't owe you anything. You're a stranger. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to talk to me when I'm driving. Like, okay. I would rather us not make
conversation. Mm-hmm. All right. So now you know what's going to happen if you're riding with Molly. She's going to be falling asleep, sleeping away. All right. We're going to roll out of here. People, have a great day. We'll see you guys tomorrow, of course. And again, you can reach out to us any way you want to reach out to us. It's bpscrasher@gmail.com. Also, 402-915-0962. In the works and merch will be Team Molly and Team Party. Who do you think will win that one?
You.
No.
Because you're going to buy a bunch. Hand them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hand them out to everybody. All right. We'll see you guys later. Have a safe day again, and do yourself good.